We're back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got Call Your Shot Friday coming up later this hour at 7:45. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans and his reaction from the NFL Combine as well. That coming up later in the show. Joe, let's quickly go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bert from Paris texting in says, what's the going rate for trading back to pick up other picks? This is coming from Bert from Paris, which also, Joe, I think is made even more interesting by where the Titans are picking in the draft at 26. You know, I'm interested to see what all they could get from moving back at that same point. It's obviously, it's not the same as like picking in the top 15 and moving back. Oh, we have a mute. Joe Rex on mute.
Dang it. It was just, I was struggling with the mouse a little bit there. It's hard. It's just such a hard question to answer. You know, I mean, it's just, and bottom line is like, you can't count on that. Like, there is no set rate. Can't count on it. And it just, it's circumstantial. I mean, it's just a lot of times it's QB related. And this is the kind of draft where like there could be QBs all over the first round instead of like there's four who are going to go in the top five picks or something like that. But it's just one of those things that you have to be ready for. And if it works out for you, I think that you jump on it. You know, if it's a fair deal.
Not a great night for the Predators last night in terms of results. Edmonton gets a point in overtime against Chicago, so they move up into the top three in the Pacific. By the way, Vegas has now dropped down below the Predators. They are in the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. Now, they have the same amount of points the Predators do, but Vegas is now in a wild card spot, which is pretty hard to believe in that division. By the way, we talked about the losses for the Predators and how bad the Seattle game was, and it was bad. And we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. Colorado lost to Arizona again last night. They've gotten beaten by Arizona twice this year. Colorado doesn't lose a game against anybody else, but Arizona, that's the kryptonite, baby. They went 2-1 last night.
Incredible.
So bad losses do happen in the NHL. It's not just the Predators, but that one's pretty rough. The other night against Seattle, they dropped 6 of 8 since the All-Star break, and they're in a much more precarious spot in the standings now than they were this time a few weeks ago. My question for you, Joe Rex Road, is do you view the Predators any differently than you did a few weeks ago? Do you think this is just a rough patch and they'll dig their way out, or could this be maybe them coming back to earth a little bit and being a little bit closer to what we thought they were at the beginning of the season? What have you made of the streak that they've been on, dropping 6 of 8.
Well, I think you have to keep an open mind on all of it. I've seen definitely a lot of fans who have gone, they're like, okay, here it is. Now, this is what we thought they were. Certainly, I mean, I think differently of them than I did. Like, just go back to like the night they beat Colorado. Well, team shorthanded, but still a big kind of prove it game, measure yourself game. And at that point, you know, you're talking about number one in the Western Conference, you know, at that point. Didn't think that would last. I don't think anyone thought that would last, but I definitely thought they were a little bit less vulnerable to some of the things we've seen than clearly they are. So I think it's I think it's become a scrap to get into the playoffs. And obviously, if they were to fall out of there and fail, that would be a huge disappointment. Such a bigger disappointment than if they just sort of played and looked like the team most people thought they were this year, right?
Yeah.
You know, if it's just like, okay, they're not a great team. It's kind of like this half rebuild thing, and you know, trade Forsberg for some picks, you know, then that'd be one thing, but they got expectations higher. And I still think that it's in there for them to be a very good team. And to be damn, I do believe that they, if they get the playoffs, that means they're going to have to play at a certain level to get there. And I think they could be dangerous there, but we're seeing, you know, some flaws. I think just not enough scoring, and just the mistakes are that's the weird thing about the mistakes that they're making in some of these games is like those fall into the dreadful correctable mistakes, you know? And so you can always say that, but the thing is, it's not that simple to just snap your fingers and not keep making those mistakes. And some of the players making those mistakes, you know, like your one of your favorite defensemen, Philip Myers, for example, they've got some people out there sometimes who are just not in ideal situations. They're not a complete team.
They're not a complete team. And, you know, we've talked about some of the holes that they have. Like they've got to find somebody to play with Ryan Johansson. And right now that's just a struggle. It is. And his line is not as dangerous as it needs to be 5-on-5. I still think he's playing well for the most part. You know, at some point I'd probably like to see him just say, you know what? I'm shooting the puck, and that's what I'm doing when I'm out there. You know, that's not always the right play. I understand that. And he likes to try to make the right play. I think maybe a little bit too much sometimes rather than just shooting the puck, but we know what the hole looks like there. The thing that's been kind of amazing to me, and UC Soros' numbers have gone in the tank since, you know, coming out of the All-Star break. And I don't really know, like, I think back to that Seattle game the other night. Like, I don't really know what you want him to do in those situations. But to me, it's the defensive coverage in front of him. And it's more specifically, like, very few times are the Predators just getting worn down in their own zone and getting peppered and then somebody scoring a goal. It's in transition. Like, it's the odd man rushes that they're giving up. It's the decision-making coming through the neutral zone. Like the other night, you know, Mark Borowiecki goes to try and line up this massive hit, which is fine, but he pinches, he whiffs on the hit, and then all of a sudden it's a two-on-one going back the other way. Seattle didn't score on the play, but it's like that's probably not the best time to go try and line up a huge hit. Matt Benning pinches up in the neutral zone the other night, and it causes a two-on-one going the other way. Seattle scores on the play. Like it's some of it's just as simple as you're being a little too aggressive when it comes to trying to either pinch up on the wall and stop the play or trying to make a big hit. And it's leaving yourself exposed going the other way. Some of it's just as simple as puck management and turn the puck over. But to your point, it's mistakes that I feel like they've been making on a semi-consistent basis since they come back from the break. That's, and they're ending up in the back of your net. And this team is not good enough to overcome those type of mistakes. Like you can't have mistakes if you're the Predators where you beat yourself. And I feel like that's where they've been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And even like listening to Hal yesterday, kind of even talking like about just playing the style, you know, he's talking about just like get back to like your style. I think you kind of heard some of that from Hines too. So is that just some individuals, you know, cheating a little bit here and there, you know, just taking chances that you shouldn't take that they weren't taking before? Is it, you know, because at times they are really struggling to generate, you know, offensive zone time and chances? I don't know. But it's definitely some big mistakes. I don't think Soros is playing poorly. I mean, he was unbelievable, of course, on Pecorine night.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, on that night, that was a game that you had to play a certain way, and they did, and they won. I mean, it took going to the shootout, but still, like, they did play a certain way, and they had very few huge gaffes in that game. So I know it's like it's not like every night out they are they're just all over the place playing fast and loose and sloppy. I mean, a lot of that Seattle game they were fine, and then all of a sudden you just have the 2.5 minute mental vacation as a team.
Yeah, and those are the things that you can't have. And yeah, the thing is, like, if you're the Predators, you know, the other two power plays in the third period last night, notwithstanding, because they were atrocious on the power play those two times out. But you got to feel good about your power play right now. Like, it's been pretty consistent from start to finish so far this year. So a power play that you feel good about should be a weapon for you coming down the stretch. Like, to me, you're going to get some opportunities every game on the power play. That doesn't mean you're going to score all the time. But like the idea of just like pressing and pressing and pressing for offense and leading to mistakes going the other way, I see where that's tempting. But when you know that that's like you're making mistakes, maybe trying to play outside yourself a little bit. Like to me, if you're John Hines, it's like, all right, get back to the simple game. Like play the way that we know how to play. Don't beat yourself. And I feel like if the Predators, you know, playing mistake free is not realistic. That doesn't happen in the NHL. But limiting your mistakes sometimes that's how you win. And I feel like the Predators early in the season, that's what they were really good at, was they were limiting mistakes. Yes, they're not the most talented team. They were being opportunistic with their goal scoring, which I still think to a certain degree they are. Like, this is not some, like, you know, 03, 02 Barry Trotz team where you're scrapping it together out there offensively. Like, they've got some guys that can score, and Roman Josi's a big part of that too, obviously. But what they weren't doing earlier in the season that they're doing now is just mistakes that are so blatant that are beating you on a nightly basis. And, you know, the mental vacation you took against Seattle, a lot of that was puck management, and that's got to get better as they go down the stretch. Like, you can't have, you know, serving up 2-on-1s on a silver platter to your opposition, because that's how you get beat by teams like Seattle and San Jose.
No doubt. Yeah. And yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, you know, no one's saying that they need to go back to like Trotz era, like, you know, just like clutch and hold and, you know, get a 2-1 win in there, but there's a balance. And for whatever reason, they're just having some but I think some of the mistakes are just weird too. Right.
Yeah.
I guess that can also speak to just pressing, and when things start going the wrong way on you, I think things like that become more likely, and maybe here and there people try to do a little bit too much and all that stuff that goes along with losing.
What are your thoughts on the Predators and the way that they played since the All-Star break? How much differently do you feel about their playoff chances, and do you think this should affect the way David Poile approaches the trade deadline? We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Nashville Predators in Bridgestone Arena appreciate and recognize military, first responders, and their families. Your company can help fund tickets for these heroes during Ford Military Week, the week of March the 7th. You can learn more about the Hero Salute Program at NashvillePredators.com/Military Week. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Predators and taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. April in Portland texting in says, I think Joey has been fantastic. He needs shooters to play with, maybe Tolvanen or Tomastino on the second line. Cunning is not a second line guy to me. I would move him to the fourth. If any of our starting six defensemen are out, we are screwed. We need an extra pair of good defensemen when we have injuries. This is coming from April from Portland on the text line. I do think if David Poile wants to add at the deadline, which that's going to be interesting to see what happens as they come down the stretch here. I mean, you're really as a general manager right now, the Forsberg contract aside, because obviously that's his number one priority right now, but you're kind of in the worst spot to be as a GM, because you're right there on the line and you can add and go for it and take a risk that way. And you can sell off if you want to and give up on the playoffs. I mean, you could keep things as they are. You're in a difficult spot to be as a GM, being right there on the playoff line.
Well, yeah, I don't think the second option is going to be seriously considered to you. I mean, I guess I say that not knowing if, I mean, maybe they got a big losing streak ahead of them, and then it does become a possibility, I guess. But I guess I'd be surprised if that's the case. I mean, if they're right around here, I mean, he's not gonna do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're at that point, you're probably making some small ads, or you're keeping things as they are, would be my guess.
And keeping things as they are is not a terrible thing, you know.
No.
But I mean, I hear April, like, depth there, the decor is certainly not great right now. Like, there's a pretty big drop off, and as you've talked about, like another not super expensive but handy forward could be helpful, and then, you know, take those calls on Forsberg.
Yeah.
Shop him actively.
Actively shop.
Yes, that's right. Actively shop Forsberg.
Well, I think what we've also learned over the course of the past week is Alex Carrier is pretty darn important. Like, they need him back out there. And it's because he's good, but they need him back out there so Philip Myers and Ben Harper aren't playing hockey for this team. Like, it's a big drop-off It really is. Let's go back to the text line. JC in Goodsville texting in. Do you see a scenario where Johansson is traded at the deadline to make room for a Forsberg deal? Go get a veteran center with a $4 to $5 million salary. No. I do not see a scenario where Ryan Johansson is traded. I mean, I'd be, first off, I don't think the Predators want to do that right now. And secondly, like, what's his market? Like, are there still people signing up, looking at Ryan Johansson and say, yep, I want to pay that guy $8 million a year for the next 3-4 years? I don't think that that's a huge line right now.
Right. So you get much more benefit out of having him on your team and doing all the things he does, very important, than you do from whatever you'd get for him. I don't think that's even close.
No, like, I think at this point, which they're not going to do this either, but at this point, with Matt Duchene scoring the way that he is, I mean, he's now at 25 goals. Like, you'd be probably, which is amazing to say this, given where we were a year ago, you'd probably be more successful trading him right now than you would be Ryan Johansson.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Quite the turnaround.
But true.
So how do you think this losing streak affects David Poile? Because I've always thought, like, the going super all in and making a big splash at the deadline was probably not going to happen and probably not something the Predators want to do. Like, it's always been difficult for me this year based on the way that they've handled this team by getting younger, giving some of those guys more opportunities, talking about a competitive rebuild or competitive transition or whatever term you want to use. It's always been difficult for me to imagine David Poile getting to the deadline this year and paying, you know, a second round pick for somebody or a first round pick to try to bring in some rental player to come help you. You know, you start to get into mid round picks, I think it's a little less costly and a little less, quite frankly, that you care about if you're a general manager at that point. So I'm not going to discount the possibility of something like that happening, but I've always thought that was unlikely. As they continue to kind of get into the mix here where they're right there on the line, I think it's really unlikely at this point that you're mortgaging one of your future picks like that. How do you think that the way that they've come out of the deadline, or excuse me, the All-Star break, maybe affects the way that David Poile approaches the deadline? Do you think it affects it at all as they look here less than 3 weeks away now from the NHL trade deadline?
Yeah, it's a great question. All I know really of David Poile at the deadline is buying and mostly buying big, you know, that's a different time period of, okay, this team is definitely right at the top of the league. You know, what can you do? And I guess in 19, it was sort of like, ooh, things are slipping. You know, this team isn't very physical. This team has a terrible power play. This team has no net front presence. What can you do? But there's still so much that's good about it. It still should be a contender, you know. Now you kind of gone to the dip and back to this. And I feel like, you know, you're in a better place with your farm system and everything. You know, that's what the experts say. And certainly there are some, I mean, there's some good developments, right, with some young guys coming up. Just wouldn't want to, like, I don't think you want to mess with that. You know, for this year, but at the same time, you know, it's the same thing. We just talked about what if they are just bad here moving forward, and this continues, and it's like, okay, it becomes clear. Okay, what if the other thing happens? What if they go on a tear?
Yeah,
you know, can that still affect, like, how? I mean, I suppose you just have to react daily to the new information.
You do, and we could be having a much different conversation this time a couple weeks from now. Like, we talked about it. Next week is a huge week. I mean, you've got Dallas, Anaheim, St. Louis all at home. That's a huge stretch for you. And then you go to Minnesota on the road as well. Like, if you do well in these games, and I'll put the San Jose game in there too, because you need to win this game coming up on Saturday against San Jose. But if you do well over this next 5-game stretch, all of a sudden, I mean, you're talking about maybe being back in the top three again in the Central. So there's a variety of different directions this thing can go over the course of the next week. It's just, if you're David Poile, it would have been nice to keep that cushion that you had coming out of the All-Star break, because I think it makes your direction a little bit more clear here. But now it's the waters have been muddied up a little bit. Chris on the text line says, big picture here, from what the Preds fans expected or thought this team was at the beginning of the season, do you think fans should be happy where we are now, or is it never good enough? I honestly thought we'd be competing with Arizona. This is coming from Chris on the text line.
Well, the thing is, though, when you play a certain way for 2 months or whatever, then you change expectations.
Yep.
So, if you want to go back to the very beginning of the season, this team is still absolutely better than 99% of people thought, right? Something like that. But it's not like it was – I mean, it was a pretty extended stretch of playing really good hockey. So, you know, I think if this team gets into the playoffs, then that you have to look at that and say that exceeded most expectations, and now you're in. You have a chance to do something, and then you go from there and judge it from there. But that's also okay for fans to be freaking out a little bit right now, because because your hopes get lifted when a team plays like that. That's just natural.
The fact of the matter is, like, it's really hard to escape the Philip Forsberg part of this discussion too, because when you're playing so well as a team and he's playing the way that he's been playing all year long, that obviously changes how you feel short term about the group. But I think more importantly, that really gets you thinking, okay, well, what can this team be in the long term with him maybe under contract, with some of the younger guys stepping up? Like, I know me personally, like, I went from this is going to be a 2-3 year process to try to get back to being competitive to, well, maybe you don't have to go through that process. Like, maybe you're kind of doing that on the fly if you're the Predators. And if he's not a part of that, like, that to me really changes what this team is. So, like, we can talk about the expectations and whether or not that's been changed and going back to the beginning of the season and all that stuff. But to me, it's really hard to separate the Philip Forsberg part of this from the conversation. Like, it's just so vital to what it's going to be both this year and as they move forward.
Exactly. It's no kind of rebuild if you have them. If you don't, then it's, I don't know how competitive, you could still be competitive within a rebuild, I suppose, but it's just a huge chunk. I mean, look at what they are struggling to generate now with him still playing very well. So then take that out of the lineup. And I know that they won some games when he was out of the lineup early in the year and all that, but over a longer stretch, you are struggling to score.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a couple more thoughts to get to on the Preds coming up next. We'll get into a big college basketball weekend this as well for the Vols. What a game this is going to be. Coming up tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Arena. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, if we are ending COVID protocols and the NFL is taking the first step to say no more, no more, you know what I think we have to also end that is a byproduct of COVID?
What?
Basketball coaches wearing the little pullovers on the sidelines, the NCAA.
Do you know how many bad things are byproducts of COVID?
The
so
NCAA
many bad things.
Does not, they never get anything right ever. But for the first time in the history of the NCAA, could they do the right thing and put in a mandatory rule, a dress code for bench staff for the NCAA tournament? That's all I ask. Mark Emmert, you haven't gotten anything right over the last 20 years. Can you get this one right?
He's kidding, right?
I don't know. My favorite part of that was just watching your face during the entire clip that was played there.
He's trolling everybody. He doesn't actually, like, come on. I don't believe it. Jared, Jared, restore my faith in you, Jared.
I think he's serious.
I think he is too. As soon as he said that yesterday, I texted Ian. I said, I'm going to need that clipped, please.
I wish it would happen. Like, can you imagine if that was Mark Emmert's big move now after everything that's gone on?
Hey guys,
I'm saving college sports.
You better be wearing a suit if you're on the bench over there and you're not going to be in the game. If you're not in a suit, you're not going to be on the floor. This is the decree coming down from Mark Emmert.
Now, the NCAA, we demand matching socks, okay? I don't want to see like a dark black sock and like a lighter black sock, okay? Now, let's get those shoes nice and spiffy. I mean, like, seriously.
They must be shined.
He's not serious.
Oh, I think he's serious. It's his old man yelling at the cloud moment, and he's doubling down on it, tripling down on it.
The Jared hot take wheel is just, it just spins around and around. It's just full of magic.
Let's quickly go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Devin from Dover texting in says, have to add defensive depth. That third pair is killing me. Gover on the text line says, is Igor Afanasyev ready? Probably not, but they're looking for a spark. And if they don't want to pay the price to acquire someone, maybe that's the route you go. I don't think he's ready.
A little early.
It's a little early for me. He had a good camp, but I mean, he's been okay in Milwaukee. 21 points, 51 games, 8 goals on the season. I think probably the best approach with him would be just leave him down there and let him play in Milwaukee.
Gover's like, no, let's go. Bring him up. I mean, it's not the craziest thing.
No. I mean, look, I think size-wise, I mean, he fits in. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's 6'4", 202, or whatever he is. I mean, he's a huge guy. So, I think he's going to be a really good player for them one day. I just – if I'm making a list of call-ups right now, there are some guys that I'm calling up before him. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, makes sense.
What's really intriguing is, like is Cody Glass ever going to be a guy that – this year maybe gets another call up. Like, I mean, points wise, and he's lighting it up down there. He's got 41 points in 46 games, 10 goals, 31 assists. But we've seen him produce in the AHL before. Now, granted, we've not seen him produce like this at the AHL before. This is different. Like, this is the longest stretch of time, number one, that he's been down there in the AHL, and he's playing really well. So maybe that's a way you could go. But the Cody Glass that I saw at the beginning of the season needed a lot of work, and I don't know that that's just automatically going to translate to the NHL now.
No, but that's at least, you know, because injuries have been such a part of his story, maybe this is an indication that, you know, that maybe that was part of early struggles, and maybe he's coming into his own a little bit. That would be a big deal to get some to be able to have him, you know, give you a little bit more punch. I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think for sure. Joe, a huge game coming up tomorrow for Tennessee against Arkansas. Obviously, a kind of a rock fight a couple of weeks ago over in Fayetteville in Arkansas. This is a place where Tennessee has not lost yet this year in Thompson Bowling Arena. You're talking about the number 13 team in the country taking on the number 14 team in the country. What do you think of this matchup at home for Tennessee against Arkansas?
Yeah, it should be another great atmosphere and a really good game. I like the matchup. Again, I like how Tennessee matches up against Arkansas. These are both teams that play really good defense, you know, and in the last meeting, I know a lot of the attention went to the officials, but really that game was about Tennessee not being able to hit a jump shot. And that's the thing, for as well as Arkansas plays at home, and they just had an emotional win that it took all they could do to beat LSU at home. But, you know, for as well as they play at home, like, really, I think Tennessee was a better team. I mean, I know it's like you were the better team. You lost the game. But I think they got really good shots. It's just that Arkansas made them shoot from outside. But they got clean looks and couldn't hit any. I think Tennessee's got a real opportunity here to have an undefeated season at home and keep that momentum going. It would be pretty impressive momentum going into Tampa if they could win this game. You know, they had a sort of trap game type thing at Georgia, which gives teams trouble.
Yep.
And usually loses to them, but, you know, can give them trouble, and got through that. And this would be easily the best looking Tennessee team since, you know, the great team of 3 years ago that came up short in the Sweet 16 against Purdue. And this game, in terms of, you know, it's a clear top four getting the double byes in this league. It's like a huge gap between the top four and everybody else. You go to fifth place. You got, my gosh, you got a three-way tie in fifth with Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, and LSU, A&M, Mississippi State are all 8-9. You could have like a maybe like a six-way tie after this, but you're getting the double bye. Does it matter to be like the two, which I believe they would be the two if they won? I guess that would put – well, that would match them up with Kentucky.
Dun, 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 dun.
In the semifinals.
Go round three.
Joe will be working the game, and I will be a fan in the stands, just sweating, so stressed, watching that game, if that happens.
Joe will have his Bruce Pearl orange suit on in press row.
He will.
Really take the Kentucky media approach, too. Just wear total blue while you're out there. Really be some good stuff there.
That's your guy, Matt Jones.
Get Matt Jones in there. He can have his, UK tattoo on his forehead, and Rexro can get a matching one for the Vols. Be good stuff.
Do you know Matt Jones at all?
Yes, I know who he is.
Yeah.
But he is not all Kentucky media.
Well, Kyle Tucker.
I think it seems like Matt Jones, like they do a lot of good stuff. But I remember the first time I saw him at SEC Media Days, it was just so weird. It was, because you're like walking on press row. I was at Bridgestone. I was like, whoa, who is this dude? He's got like every Kentucky, he's got like Kentucky pins and Kentucky hat. I'm like, who is this guy, man? You're freaking me out. Like, who let this guy in from the stands? But he was right there on press row. Just, hey, man. I guess it's like, what? You got super homer media in every SEC town. I mean, sure. Why even pretend,
Yeah.
I like it.
He's got a bar, KSR bar. It's pretty Kentucky'd out.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. Joe, you need to open your own bar.
Wait, you're saying that Kentucky Sports Radio has a bar?
Yes, like a bar and grill. It's called KSR Bar and Grill.
There you go, Rex Road.
It's all blue. You can never get in for game day. I tried one time. I didn't get in.
GB eat at GB Joe's.
Yes. That
would be really good.
Please do.
And all orange.
That's right. So that's what I think will happen. I think Tennessee probably beats Arkansas. If they do, I think Auburn, what do they have? They've got a home game against South Carolina to be outright SEC champs. I can't see them blowing that.
No.
They're going to be the clear one. Would you rather, if you're Tennessee, in all seriousness, would you rather be set up to rematch with Auburn in the semis or be set up for a rubber match with Kentucky in the semis?
I don't think there's a huge difference. I mean, the thing that if you're Tennessee – that's just not going to be the same moving forward, that I'm interested to see how that affects them. I think overall they're playing better as of late, regardless of where they play, but you're not going to be in Thompson Bowling Arena outside of tomorrow. And it's obvious that is a huge difference maker for them. Can they carry that with them when you start getting into neutral site games? I don't know. That's going to be the big question to me.
No, for sure. There's no doubt. You got to be able, but the, I think that they have a chance to really be good this month just because of their defense, though.
Yeah.
Because that is the one thing. If sometimes you just get, you get rolling offensively at home, and if that's what you are as a team, that's something that you have a hard time, you can't count on necessarily. But I do think that their defense travels. But to your point, they're 6-5 away from home, and they're 15-0. 6-5 on the road in road games, true road games. They're 15-0 at home, so that's a pretty big difference. I guess what are they, 1-2 in neutral site games?
Yep. So I have an opportunity.
Crushed by Villanova, crushed North Carolina. Yeah.
But hey, if they win this game, you're talking about in the last few weeks wins against Kentucky, Auburn, and Arkansas heading into the tournament. I mean, it's got to make you feel pretty good if you're Rick Barnes.
Yeah, and just I think that everything sort of like players are progressing the way you want to progress. I mean, Kenny Chandler is really, starting to become less of a freshman point guard and just like a really good point guard. We know Zakai Ziegler. By the way, what did Vol Twitter raise for him? 350K?
Last time I saw it was around 350K.
They stopped it. Well, they ended it. So it might have gone to 10 mil. They should have just let see where it would go. But awesome, awesome showing from Tennessee fans. By the way, but the we may not have time. I may have to have a mini rant about this later.
Okay, we can do that. Well, I'm always down for a mini Joe Rex Road rant.
A Friday rant.
Friday rant. We can get to that. Speaking of our Friday traditions, when we come back, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your bold predictions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Okay, let's see. I had a very short Call Your Shot Friday. I had the Preds beat the Lightning 4-3 game-winning goal, Matt Duchene. No. I had the Vols by 12 over Auburn. What was that final score? You know, I just
I think they won by five.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the neighborhood, and then they kind of messed around late. Vescovi, 25 points. I think he had like 15. Robbie, Roman Josi, more points than Victor Hedman in the Stadium Series game?
No. Hedman had one. Josi had zero.
Zakai Ziegler, 15 points versus Auburn.
He had 13.
Rodgers announces back to the Packers. Has that happened?
It has not.
I will do the Panchakarma cleanse. Has not happened. Before 2022, though. That's a long. That's right.
It's long term.
Yeah. At some point, I may need to. You did say the final score will be 3-2, and that was accurate.
Ding, ding, ding.
Get one. There you go. I said, oh, no, no. Michelle. Preds will shut out Tampa. Forsberg hat trick. Neither of those happened. But, hey, you know, you called some shots. Jabari Smith game-winning three to beat UT. Your fantasy hatred of the Vols did not play out for you.
Yeah.
Kellen Grady, 6 threes versus Arkansas. I don't know how many he had.
He did not have six.
And Oscar Tshiebwe had, well, 8 blocks in a Kentucky win. I know the Kentucky win didn't happen.
Wait.
He did not have 8 blocks.
No, yeah. Not 8 blocks. Oh, yeah. Wait, who did Kentucky play? They won.
They lost to Arkansas. They lost to Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Michelle is taking that completely
I'm like, wait a minute. They played this week, but then I forgot this was last Friday. Okay. Yeah. I got it. Yep. They lost.
So there we go.
So with that in mind, Michelle, would you like to kick us off this week with today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
Of course, I would love to. And in this edition, I am not being a Vols hater, okay? So just stay tuned.
Okay.
Okay, nice. First we're going to start in the NFL. Rob Gronkowski will sign a one-year deal to the Buffalo Bills.
Ah, the Bills.
Yeah, go back home. I like that.
Going back home. That one. Kentucky women's basketball and men's basketball will both win the SEC tournament.
Okay.
Wow. A little double dip right there. Robbie, I don't know why you're laughing at me.
Let me tell you something. If the Kentucky women win this tournament this week, they beat South Carolina, this is the ultimate. One of the ultimate called shots coming true. So,
yes.
I love your BBN-ness.
Enthusiasm.
Yes.
Tennessee will go undefeated at home, and they will have 5 players score in double digits.
Okay. I like that. Especially after that last Arkansas matchup. One player in double digits would be a miracle. Yep.
Yeah, right. And then finally, 76ers at Miami tomorrow. James Harden will have a triple-double, but Tyler Hero will seal it in South Beach with a game-winning 3.
I like it.
Those are my called shots, fellas.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
All right. Tennessee tonight. The late game at Bridgestone. We'll get revenge on Alabama, a team that's really been problematic for Tennessee, like weirdly problematic in recent years. Ray Burrell jump shot, final seconds. Will push Tennessee to Saturday's semifinals. The Vols, the men's team, will beat Arkansas by double figures.
Okay.
Saturday. I think that's a shot. Is that a shot?
That's a shot.
Is that enough of a shot?
Perfect. Double figures is a lot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, again, I'm looking at a convincing win at home over a really good team, which they had over Auburn, and then they messed around late. Preds will beat the Sharks in a 3-on-3 overtime game.
Ooh, I like it.
A Mikhail Granlund goal. And Vanderbilt coming off just, I mean, it's amazing. The Vanderbilt men and women this week, unbelievable losses to Florida. But Vanderbilt will respond, get back to 500, keep NIT hopes alive with a season-ending win at Ole Miss tomorrow. I'm going with Tyron Lawrence with double figures in scoring, which would be a bit of a surprise, but I'm looking at Tyron Lawrence.
I like it.
Vanderbilt even up heading into the NCAA tournament or SEC tournament, where they will play on the first day and probably against, I think for sure it's already locked in, they're going to play against Georgia on Wednesday.
All right. My called shots of the week are this. We'll start on the Preds front. UC Soros will have a shutout against San Jose coming up tomorrow. Shutout for UC Soros in the Shark Tank tomorrow as they take on San Jose. Mark Borowiecki scores a goal. In this game tomorrow. I think he gets a good hop, some traffic through. Goalie doesn't see it. Mark Borowiecki with a goal in this game, which I don't believe he scored since he signed here with the Predators. So that is a that's a called shot.
That's a shot.
Vescovy hits 5 threes against Arkansas. 5 threes for Vescovy against Arkansas. Kentucky will lose to Florida on the road tomorrow. Florida, big win against the Wildcats.
Are you trying to say something? I'm actually really nervous about that game. So nobody talk to me on tomorrow.
Well, Florida really needs that one.
Yes, they do.
Like, they really don't. So I think Florida wins the game. I think they beat Kentucky. And my final one, a long-term called shot. The Miami Heat are going to win the Eastern Conference, and they will represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals.
Ding, ding, ding.
1-point loss against the Bucks the other night. Really good game. They followed that up with a second half of a back-to-back game last night against the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant. They got a big win in Brooklyn. They play against Philly this weekend. The Miami Heat are also about to get Victor Oladipo back coming up on Monday. The Miami Heat will win the Eastern Conference and represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. Joe Rexroad, your thoughts?
My thought is, you know, this is – who knew that a Nashville sports talk show – would be such a Miami Heat homer show, you know?
Yeah.
Robbie and
I
both.
Out of three. We just need you to join the club.
Come on, Joe. Miami Vice set. Like Miami Vice, right?
I love Miami Vice. I mean, you know, the pastels, absolutely. Crockett and Tubbs. No, actually, I do like the Miami Heat. I mean, I might, of the East teams, I guess I could probably adopt them. I really like Giannis, though. I like the Bucks, but you know they've won it now, so maybe I'll. If you guys will root for the Warriors, I'll root for the Heat.
I will not root for the Warriors. I'll root for the Suns, though.
There you go.
Well, I don't know.
Let's quickly go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dwight in Kentucky texting in says, the Vols beat Arkansas by 5, but then lose when they learn something from Kentucky. In the 2022 NCAA tournament. And the biggest shocker of all is next week in Joe versus Jared, Jared actually admits that Joe won fair and square, which I don't think has ever happened yet in the competition. Has Jared ever admitted defeat?
No. Look, you know what I appreciate on the text line is that there's a lot of people the last couple of days who have weighed in and said that I actually won and that the competition is rigged. All you people, conspiracy theorists, normally I don't like conspiracy theories, but I'm totally on board with this one.
Let's go to Mark in Ashland City. He says, Florida's men's basketball team will win the SEC tournament because Gator fans hate Mike White, and he always finds a way to not get fired. This is coming from Mark from Ashland City.
Amazing.
Also says the Preds sweep San Jose, Dallas, and Anaheim. Ja Morant will win the NBA MVP and lead Memphis to the NBA Finals.
Ooh,
so the Grizz going to the finals. I like it.
They are going to be fun in the playoffs. That is a shot. By the way, if you're right with your shot, Robbie, then that would set up Auburn, Kentucky in the semis, and Tennessee, Arkansas is the other one.
Yeah.
I think the Vols would sign up for that right now.
I think they probably would.
Because they're afraid of Kentucky.
No, yes, but they're scared to death of a team they just destroyed.
Oh, you wait. You just wait.
Mark from Clarksville texting in says, called shots are the Gators beating the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend and Tennessee beats Arkansas by double digits. So Mark taking a page out of the Joe Rex Road and Robbie Stanley book there. I like it.
Thanks a lot. Good stuff.
Any as many call shots as we could get for Florida winning tomorrow, I'm cool with.
Listen, I feel attacked on the text line. All of these, Kentucky will lose, the Gators will win. We get it.
All I'm doing is reading the text. It's all
you feel it. If you feel attacked now, Michelle, just wait till we get to weekend winners.
Oh yeah.
Okay, Joe. Oh, I know.
I'm just saying.
I lost. I think I did really bad, actually.
Yeah, you did. I'm sorry. Little preview of what's to come.
Rob from Clarksville texting in says, the dude from Ashland City is right. Fellow Gator fan here. Fire mid-major Mike. I didn't know that Gator fans hated Mike White as much as they do.
You know, I think Mike White's a pretty good coach, but look at that program now compared. It used to be it was Kentucky program. And – yeah, look at that program now. Kentucky and Florida, right? And Florida's just another – you know, they're pretty good every year, but I get it.
Hey, maybe it's Mike White gets fired. He comes as assistant for Rick Barnes. Danny White, Mike White reunion. What do we think?
How about heir apparent to Rick Barnes, huh, Vols fans? What do you say?
Maybe so.
What about Matt? In all seriousness, what about Matt Murray, Vols fans, as the next Tennessee head coach? East Tennessee guy.
Maybe so. It's not a bad option.
It's not bad.
Of course, Rick Barnes could do this for another 5 or 8 years. We don't know.
That's true. He could.
Don't know when he's going to retire. We'll continue.
How many Final Fours would that be? At least 3 or 4 Final Fours.
At least 3 or 4 of them. A couple natties. Yeah.
More than Tennessee.
Yep. You had it right the first time. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll see if Michelle lets me continue to be on the air when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.